With us, Dr. Nancy Nielsen, once again this morning. Good morning to you, Doctor.
Good morning.
Governor Cuomo talking about these young people who have struggled with what they're calling a COVID-related illness. To this point, over 100 here in New York State, 3 deaths attributed to it. What can you tell us about this particular illness?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that we are just learning about the coronavirus. And our clinical experience over the past 4 months has taught us a lot of things. This is one of those things. The governor announced on Wednesday that 102 Western New York pediatric cases were being looked at to see if they had this pediatric multisystem inflammatory syndrome. And as you mentioned, there are 3 deaths that we know about. He also mentioned that there were cases being investigated in 14 other states and 5 European countries. So while we initially thought kids either didn't get this disease or had it so mildly or were asymptomatic that we didn't have to worry about it, that is simply not the case. And it certainly presents differently. It doesn't present as a respiratory virus. Remember, 4 months ago when this all started, we thought this was another one of the SARS, MERS, influenza-type viruses where you'd get mild to moderate to really terrible respiratory symptoms, and we have learned that it does so much more than that.
Let's maybe for parents' sake here, if we could just for a moment, what should they look for? Again, we know so little about this. This is all relatively new development, but what do you advise for parents to keep an eye out for?
This is really important. Everybody who's the parent of a kid under 20 ought to be alert to the symptoms of this new inflammatory symptom and symptomatology. And basically, it's fever, rash, and GI symptoms, abdominal pain primarily. And then what happens is the kids go very quickly into shock. So it really is important. I would say fever, rash, and abdominal pain are the triad that you ought to look for. And if you have even 2 of those, you ought to have your child seen by a medical professional.
If I'm not mistaken, in the governor's most recent update, told us that there were 166 deaths due to COVID-19 announced yesterday. That's not an insignificant number. At the same time, it's drastically reduced from where it was a few weeks ago. As you've been monitoring this, can you take us through this progression and battling this? And you know, what do you think has really led to that downward trend here?
Well, let's first talk about the magnitude of the decline, because things are getting better, as the governor pointed out. I went back and looked at the numbers of deaths in New York a month ago. On Wednesday of this week, the number was 166 deaths. 4 weeks ago, it was almost 800 a day. So, I mean, it is really quite a dramatic decrease. And it goes to the point that we are actually learning about this virus. Again, it started out, we thought, as a problem, a respiratory virus, and we thought the big problem was going to be ventilators. What we've learned is that the virus affects other organs, and so we are beginning to intervene in ways that protect those other organs. For example, we know that this virus hurts the heart. It weakens the heart muscles. It disrupts its rhythm, its cardiac rhythm. We know that it affects, some have said it even savages, the kidneys. We've learned that the nervous system is affected. We knew for weeks that taste and smell could be affected, but we now know that confusion and particularly strokes, even in younger people, have occurred. And those strokes are probably from blood clots that have affected other parts of the body in very peculiar ways. So what have we done to impact this? Well, we've seen that this virus triggers an inflammatory response in some people that is so exaggerated that it can kill. And so we've begun to think about using anti-inflammatory diseases. One of them is being used here in Buffalo on an experimental basis. We've learned that the drug remdesivir, an antiviral, has been shown to have some modest effect, not a difference in mortality, but shortening the stay. And in every hospital in Buffalo, every single hospital in Buffalo has patients who have been treated with convalescent plasma. That's the giving of passive antibodies from somebody who has already recovered. So there's a lot going on that we've learned. And even simple things that people hadn't thought about. Instead of putting people directly on a ventilator, what you can do is have them lie prone, face down. And it turns out that really helps avoid ventilators in a number of people. So the more we learn, the more we're able to do to help.
And then finally, Dr. Nielsen, I'm sure you hear the news not only from around the country, but here in Western New York as well. Let's call it a spirit of people who want to resume normal activity. Your thoughts about that?
I understand. It's frustrating. I feel as cooped up as others do. It's been tough, but we have to stay the course. We know that a few things. We know that the personal protective equipment for our healthcare workers really does protect. You heard that from the governor's most recent press conference. That's important. That's important because we need to wear masks to show other people that we are there to protect them. And hopefully they will honor and protect us by wearing masks when we get close. We just simply can't get frustrated. And we continue to lose people. So even though things are improving, even in our own region, people are dying, in particular in nursing homes. And on Wednesday, the very first nursing home worker, a 60-year-old LPN who worked in Kenmore, lost her life. So this is not just about our frustration. This is about saving lives, and we have to stay the course.
Dr. Nancy Nielsen, again, thank you very much for your time this morning.
You bet. Thanks.